Matthew chapter 14, I want to share with us something very brief. Almost all the time, we as Christians, as God's children, we are faced with life's challenges. We're faced with situations that require the impossible, that require something extra, beyond what we can do within ourselves. You know, people hardly have a problem to know that God is powerful. Everybody agrees. Say, God is powerful. Yes, God is almighty. Yes, they do. Did God create the heaven and earth? Oh, sure, God is powerful. God is awesome. It's so easy to agree with that, to the power of God, the ability of God, the enormous miracles that God can do. In fact, David once said, "O Lord our God, how excellent your name in all the earth." Psalm 8. He said that from your fingers of your hand you have created the heavens. I mean, everybody, I often say that somebody that says an atheist is only somebody enjoying the mercy of God. Amen. You cannot see this whole world and say there's no God. It's not just because that you're a fool, you're just enjoying God's mercy. Because anybody who is as intelligent as you are should know, someone calls himself an atheist anyway, that God is behind this. So we all don't have a problem with viewing the power of God. If someone is sick, for instance, he doesn't have a problem to say, "Well, I know God can heal me." I mean, we all say that. You know, I know God can heal me. I know God has the ability to heal me. If you have a financial situation, I know God can supply my needs. You have a situation in maybe your workplace or your family or your home, you know, I know God can change it. In fact, one of the things the angel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1 verse 37, he says, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Nothing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But then, with all we say about God and all we believe, as it were, about God, how come when it comes to situations of our lives, we hardly find the hand of God, as it were, the intervention of God in our own affairs? You know, some of us have what E.W. Kenyon would call mental assets. We know in our heads that God is powerful. We know in our minds that there's nothing impossible for God to do. We know it. But when it comes to our everyday life, when we face life's challenges, because there's no way. If you live in this world, you will face challenges that come in this world. The Bible says in this world, there are tribulations and trials. John chapter 16 verse 33. There are tribulations and there are trials. You know, sometimes some people walk up to me and they say, "Well, Pastor, you know, unlike you, you know, I know you are enjoying this." Hey, the thing to think, people like us who are preachers, we live in a different kind of world. You know, but it's not true. It's just not true. Because the reality is, we all face challenges of life. Whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your home, sometimes in your physical body. But you see, the word of God is so simple, like Robert Sladen said years back, it's so simple that you need someone to help you to misunderstand it. It's so simple. And you know, when it comes to natural things, some of us take human beings easily. If I tell you now that if I walk up to you and say, "Well, IBK, I will see you tomorrow," or "I'll check you up tomorrow," you know what she's going to tell? Say, or your friend, she's just going to say, "Well, Pastor said he'll check me tomorrow." She will say, "What does he mean? I will see you tomorrow. What is the meaning of we see you? We'll see you. We'll see you can mean, and then we don't do that when it comes to human relationships. But when it comes to the word of God, we find it almost, we think God is someone that says something, then it means something else. So in our lives, you know, we hardly open our minds to see the hand of God in our affairs. This afternoon, I want to share with us how to walk on water. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? What did I say? Say that again. how to walk on water. Matthew chapter 14. Now there was the story of how Jesus in chapter 14 had just multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, he had just finished a church service, a teaching program where thousands of people were there and everybody was hungry. Everybody was hungry. And then he said, well, let's get them food. And the disciples said, where do we have food? And then one young boy supplied his 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus gave thanks, broke it, and multiplied it. And the Bible says 5,000 men, not counting their women and children, were fed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's so easy to see that God did that right in your presence. Right in your, I mean, the disciples were all there. In fact, they were the ones sharing the bread and the fish. Like we say, my God, Peter, did you see what just happened? My God. Ah, I mean, I'm going to eat today and I'm going to be full. It's a great day. And they were sharing the thing. Now, after that was done, please take note of this. Jesus now sent the multitude away. 5,000 men, besides their children and their wives. In verse 21. In verse 22. And straight away, Jesus constrained, Matthew 14, his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now the disciples were in the ship. Alright? Disciples were all in the ship. And in verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Hallelujah. Walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were disturbed. They hadn't seen that before. Now, they had heard about Moses and then the children of Israel walking with the sea parted into two. Now, somebody is not parting the sea into two. He's walking right on the sea. And he says, and it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straight away, Jesus spoke unto them. Unto who? Now, I want you to take note of this. He spoke unto all of them. Be not afraid, or better still, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now listen to me. Faith in God is taking God at His word. That He means what He says. And He says what He means. Faith is to take God at His word. The same way you take your employer at his word. He says, I'll pay you 100,000 naira end of the month. And then when you are with your colleagues or your friends or your old schoolmates and they ask you, John, how much do you earn? Now you are yet to be paid. And you say, I earn 100,000 naira every month. You took your employer at his word. You don't say, well, I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm believing that somehow by the grace of God Almighty, I will get 100,000 every month. You don't say that. Something as simple as your door, the door to your house. You have the keys. The keys are with you. When you want to open the door to your house, you don't go, I hope this door will open. You don't do that. Sometimes you are even on the phone. You put the keys in, you turn it and you open it. Because you have taken the key and the door at their word. Praise the Lord. You've taken your employer right at his word. Amen. Now, Jesus says to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Why? Because fear paralyzes the potentials of faith. You cannot be in fear and in faith at the same time. When you are in faith, you are not in fear. When you are in fear, you are not in faith. Many of us want fear and faith to work together in our lives. They don't work together. It's either you are in faith or you are in fear. You cannot be in fear and be in faith at the same time. Either you are in faith or you are in fear. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible lets us know, I want you to listen to this, just make sure you are paying attention. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, the writer of Hebrews talking about how the Old Testament patriarchs believed in God's promise. He says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's the first thing he says. The evidence of things not seen. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He says, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. That's how he puts faith. In Romans chapter 4, please go to Romans chapter 4. Talking about Abraham, popularly known as the father of faith, the man who believed God in Genesis 15:6, was accounted unto him for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom, or before him, whom, verse 17, Romans 4, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and collect the things that be not as though they were. It says, collect the things that be, the word to call means to speak out. Things that don't exist as though they exist. That means, you will not see it before you say it. He said, he collect the things that be not as though they exist. Now, Abraham, for instance, the man used here, was a man who was childless for many years. Many years. And so his name was Abraham. Abraham. Abraham in the Chaldees means an assumed father. Somebody who doesn't have children, but, I mean, not necessarily because he has children, but we assume he's a father. It's like a post, a title, a nickname. Now, he was living like that for several years. And God told him, I will give you a child. I will give you a child. And Abraham said, okay, it's alright. But you know what? He kept bearing the name Abraham, which was contrary to what God said. That's why in Genesis 15, he said, God, I go childless. God said, no. Walk before me, you'll be perfect. I mean, his confession and what God said were contrary. But the year God said to him, a father of many nations have I made you. Said, therefore your name shall be called Abraham. Your wife's name shall be called Sarah, Sarai. Then he changed it. He started to call himself a father of many nations. Within a year, Isaac came. In faith, you don't see it before you say it. You say it before you see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith calleth the things that be not as though they were. That means, if it's not existing, if I don't have it, I will call it. If I cannot see it, I will call it. I'm not wishing, I'm in faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 4:13. He says, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. We believe and therefore we speak. What we speak is what we believe. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means You have not seen it, yet you are saying it. You have not seen it, yet you believe you have it. Praise the Lord. You are calling the things that be not as though they were. Now, get back to Matthew 14. Don't forget we're looking at how to walk on water. We mean how to do the impossible. How to do the impossible. If all you're expecting in life is what is meant for you, you know, some people are born again. But their minds are trained in a legalistic way. They believe their spendings in the month must come from their income at work. They believe that whatever they get in life must be what they deserve. They are functioning under a curse. Because a child of God must live by God's sufficiency. A child of God must exist and enjoy the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Someone tells you, well, you know, the kind of nature you have, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. And you believe it. Then you know, I don't take cold water. I don't take hot water. I don't, you know, something where, well, that's it. I don't take it. And you say, you know, if I did this now, I will fall sick. If I do that one, I will fall sick. What about the power of God? What about the power? What about the power of God that you claim to believe? If all that takes care of me during the month is my salary, then I'm living on that curse. Because God does not bless people that deserve. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying here? What? I'm a child of God. I believe in the power of God. And I'm thinking like that. That look, you know, I deserve this, I deserve that. Then you have a law mentality. I said them in the morning, I said there are two kinds of teaching in the body of Christ. One says that you must do something for God to do something to you. The other one says you can receive what God has already done for you. Now the worst part of those teachings, I told them in the morning, is when you mix both. It's worse. You see, it's better you are for the law or you are for grace. But when you have law and grace mixed together, you have a terrible experience. Because you will believe in the power of God, but you will not receive from it. Praise the Lord. Matthew 14. And in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. Now, Jesus was already on the water. Praise the Lord. He was already on the water. He was already doing the impossible. He was already functioning in the anointing of the Spirit. He was already functioning in the grace of God. He was standing already in the power of God. Now, Peter says, if it be you, ask me to come. Now, Peter was not the only person that Jesus spoke to. At least there will be 12 people in that ship. Are you following what I'm saying this afternoon? He spoke to everybody. In other words, when you come to church, and we teach you God's word, it's not automatic that everybody that we are teaching will experience it. The word of God only works for those that believe it. And if you believe the word of God long enough, it will work. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Are you here this afternoon? You see, Peter was not the only one in that ship. And just like this morning or this afternoon, and in the church today, there are several people I'm talking to. Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. And everybody kept quiet. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to meet thee on the water. And then Jesus said, come. Now let me paint a scenario for you. them were disciples. They were all church members. Let me say they were all born again. Spirit-filled, tongue-talking. Word men. But only one person. Only one person decided to walk on water. Only one person. So therefore, listen now. Faith is personal. It's personal. Only one. Say, Lord, if you bid me to come. And you know, imagine that kind of sheep. We are all in church. We are all enjoying praise worship. We are all enjoying the word of God. We are all in the ministry together. And then one person says, Lord, if you bid me to come. Naturally, we'll think that fellow is proud, arrogant, or is forward. Well, what does he think is special? What's the big deal? And I can imagine Peter in that ship that day. Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. There'll be three sets of people in that ship. The first set will say, Peter. Ha. Look. Life is about wisdom. It's about wisdom. You are not sure. Jesus might be testing you. If you, Peter, look very well. It's called water. I read hydromarine technology in university. If your legs go into that water, you become a living submarine. Peter, be careful. You see, I understand your zeal. You know, we all heard this word now, don't we? All heard the message. So I have the tapes. Relax. Take it easy. Jesus only said, come, wait for the entire revelation. Have you prayed about it? You have to fast. The word come in the Greek is the Greek word sitokami. It means to stay, to abide, to move. So you have to study. You have to understand, Peter. Relax. In the same battle. Everybody was hearing Jesus and someone said, that's not what he meant. You know, one time he said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Maybe you wanted to finish that. You can't hear him well. No, the waves say, all ye that labor. Are you laboring? You know, some folks are like that. The very first, today by the grace of God, I'm entering 20 years in ministry. Some 19 years ago, I began to preach the gospel. Amen. Just this day. Praise the Lord. And I trust God I'll do this for another 60 years in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the very first healing meeting I organized, how many years now? Almost 20 years now. The very first healing meeting. I began to lay hands. I called people. I said, if you are sick, come, I'll pray for you. I was boasting. I began to lay hands. Say, what is wrong with you? Say, my stomach. Put your hands there. In Jesus' name. I was just laying hands. Then one fellow who was so anointed to us then, he just walked past and smiled. Like, you know that kind of smile, like, this small boy. Already fear came upon me. I was looking at him. It's like the Holy Ghost followed him. I laid hands. To now make matters worse. Everybody I prayed for didn't get well. Some even went much more sicker. So they called me and they said, come. The other two guys said, come. We saw you laying hands in the meeting. Why didn't you just preach? So I preached and I laid hands. He said, did you know what? Jesus in Mark 16 was talking to the apostles. Are you an apostle? I knew I was not. I said, no, I'm not. The other person said, did he say lay hands on those who are possessed? He said, lay hands on the sick. Some of those people I can see, they are demons. If you lay hands on someone that is possessed, the demon will come back to you and say, believers like me. That evening, I fell sick. Very, very sick. They smiled. We told you. So in life, you'll always have people like that. Praise the Lord. In life, you'll always have people like that. Face reality, Peter. Face reality. This is water. Does this one look at it? Face reality. How can you go and start a business just like that? You don't know, you don't even know how the business, you don't even know how it's done. You just say you want to start a company, you want to do business. Be very careful. When I started out in the business world years back, the same set of people that we started together, at a point they began to meet behind me. I said, I'm going to do big business in this country. I said, I know. The buddy said, he's deceiving himself. He said, look at his car. His car, we just pushed it last week. You know, one time I went to bring somebody from the airport. A big man. He said, where's your car? I said, that's your car. Look at me. I said, don't worry, you just get it to where you are going. So let's go. At the airport. The man was just looking embarrassed. So I said, hold on. So they're pushing it. And we're going. He said, where's your AC? Alternative current. Right in the middle of the traffic. The car just went. I said, blood of Jesus. So the people were doing business together said, oh. We're not interested in this kind of business. No. It's only for big people. It's only for big people, not people like us. I told them, I said, mark my word. I don't give up. I'm a son of God. I can never be defeated. I will never quit. The fellow who introduced me to the business world, we met at the embassy years back. I've been looking for you. Your company is not big. Say, can I have your card? I smiled. I said, you can have it. Come to my car. He came to a car. Now that one had AC. It was a new car. I said, come and take it. So you can call. I said, no problem. Which one should I call? I said, anyone. But you see, he wasn't encouraging me when I started. So in that boat, in life, when you want to do the impossible, don't go for elections. People will vote for you. I said, you can do it. No. Just like if you're called to the ministry. If you're called to the ministry, you don't wait for everybody to like you. That will be in heaven. When all the believers will be in one accord. Praise the Lord. So in that boat, someone will have told him, look, be careful. There will be a group that will say, come on, Peter. You can do it. They would not. But they say, you can do it. The word works. The word works. They are preachers of the word. The word works. They will tell you, the life of God is in you, but they will not walk in the life of God. They will tell you, healing is yours, but every headache like this, they say, I can't come to church. My head is paining me. Well, if your head is paining you, you come to church. That's where God is. Amen. And the power of God is present there. Praise the Lord. In that boat, there will be some, go on, Peter, but you like, those ones are good. They go on. You can do it. You are what the world says you are. What about you? You win. What about you? You are blessed, Peter. You can do it. It's Jesus. Remember Jesus? Just a couple of hours ago, 5 loaves, 2 fishes became 5,000 plus. You know, they can preach, they can quote. But are they walking on water? No. But they are in the boat. They are experienced. They have seen the hand of God. They have seen the, not necessarily in their own lives, but they can tell you stories. You will find them. The third group, which for me is the worst, those that will say nothing. Peter will say, what do you guys think? Let the will of God be done. I believe in God to own a shopping complex. They say, where's your present business? So right now, I'm just about to hire a shop. I want to own a shopping complex. When did you say? Next year. Let the will of God be done. Sir, say something now. I've said it. God's will. It's God's will. If it's God's will, you will go to heaven. If it's not God's will, you will go to hell. Is that all? And they will say that. And so in life, never wait on human commendation to act on the word of God. Take God's word as God's word. Take God at his word. Jesus has said to Peter, he said, come. That's all he said. Come. He said, come. And there are people here this morning, this afternoon, who have heard from God. Simple. Come. You are healed. You are blessed. You are favored. There's no condition to it. There's no ifs. There's no buts. He just said, you are blessed. Hallelujah. That's all. Jesus only said, come. And he expected that Peter should act upon it. He never expected Peter to walk on water. He expected Peter to walk on his word. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you are sick, and God says you are healed, he is not expecting you to get healed. He wants you to take his word. Take his word. Take him at his word. So when you are looking at the water, you are looking at the wrong thing. You look at his word. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Come on, guys. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He didn't say, Peter, walk on water. He said, come. You look at his word. The word of God contains the power of God. That is the power he needed to stay on the water. Come. All he said was come. Sometimes what we have in our lives is prophecy. God has spoken to us by prophecy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, Paul writes to Timothy, I charge thee, my son Timothy, that concerning the prophecies that have gone before about you, that you will wage a good warfare with them. Prophecy is what is spoken to you by the Spirit of God. What is spoken to you by the Spirit of God. You take a hold of it. You believe it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You believe it. That's all you have. And that's all you're supposed to walk on. Sometimes maybe you are sick in the body. And the doctors have told you that you would need a surgery. Or they'll tell you, just like they've told so many people, that this thing will take your life. Or they told you that you have to take medication every week or every month or every other month. Then you turn to the word of God. And you read Matthew 8:17. He bore your infirmities. By stripe you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. He bore your sins on his body. And by stripe you are healed. You read Isaiah 53:4-5. You read Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and he healed them of their sicknesses. You read Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You read Exodus 23:24-25. And I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. And you take a hold of that. Take a hold of that. And you have the evidences of men right before you. So to men, your getting healed is impossible. To people, to the doctor, you're being okay, you're being well is impossible. But you can walk on water. I said you can walk on water. You can walk on the supernatural. You can walk on the power of the Holy Ghost. You can walk on what God has said to you. Many times, we have these things that happen to us. or are happening to us contrary to what God has said. Whether it's in your job, it's in your life, I mean it's in your home, it's in your career, it's in your body. And all you have is a word from God. Faith, like I told you earlier, is taking God at His word. Taking God at His word. You know something? In that boat, you will have some people who analyze to you how Jesus said, come. They will analyze to you the meaning of the word come, like I said earlier. They will tell you what is the frequency of the water, but they will not take God at His word. They will not take God at His word. And that's why as a believer, listen to this, you need to be very careful of the kind of relationships that you keep. See, if you keep people around you who doubt the word of God, who don't take God at His word, very soon you begin to act like them. Very soon you begin to think like them. Very soon you begin to have the same kinds of experiences that they have in their life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, fools, the companion of fools perish together. Proverbs 13 verse 20. But the wise walks with the wise. So you need to know the kind of people that you surround yourself with all the time. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. When I want to get a healing, I want to listen to somebody who has been healed by God. I want to hear someone who has experienced the healing power of Jesus. I don't want to hear someone who will tell me, well, I've been like this for the last 20 years. I think God is trying to try me. I don't want to hear you. Because you will have a negative influence on my life. I want to watch testimonies. I want to watch people who have experienced the power of God. I want to see people who have been touched by God. Those who have taken God at His word. Hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? You take God at His word. You simply take God at His word. Listen, listen. In the walk of faith, you must stand on something. You must stand on the word of God. Look at your healing today, your health, your business, your finances, your conduct, ministry. What are you standing on? Have you looked into the word of God? Sometimes I ask people, you say, well, Pastor, I'm trying to get a husband. I'm trying to get a wife. I'm trying to build my business. And I'm saying, all right, good. I understand the natural side of it, which is you do the normal things, you register your company and all that. But now, what are you standing on? See, I don't understand, sir. What are you standing on? You mean you have nothing from God that you can hold on to? Say, well, I'm not thinking about that. No, you have to. Because that is what will take you to walk on water. What are you standing on? Have you found out in God's word that scripture that speaks about you? Have you found out in God's word that scripture that talks about your present situation and circumstance? Praise the Lord. One lady years back, some 10 years ago, she was ready to go for a surgery. Then she told me she didn't want to go for a surgery. She said, that's okay. She said, so what scripture do you believe God for? She said, are you believing God for? She said, well, I just believe that, I forgot what she said. She said something that I can't remember. I said, well, what scripture do you, is closer to your heart? That you understand it. She said, Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 to 6. I said, good. Now let's look at that scripture. And then we saw it together. By His stripe, you are healed. Yeah. So, I said, let us pray. So she held my hands and she said, Father, in the name of God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, I take authority over this sickness. And we ask in Jesus' name that the power of God, I said, now, what scripture are you standing on? She said, Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 6. I said, Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 6 says you are healed. Because you see, whenever you don't have understanding, Satan will take the word away from your heart. Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 6 already says you are healed. I said, therefore, you ought to just hold my hand and give thanks to God that you are what? She thought about it. She said, wow. Oh. She said, oh, I'm healed. That means I don't need surgery. Because healed people don't go for surgery. She said, yes. She said, you are healed. Praise God. Then she went for a test. They did the x-ray. The thing was still there. It was now the word of God against the word of doctors. Now, I'm not against doctors. And I never preach that people should not go to doctors. It's the wrong advice. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Very good. Okay. I said, all right. What do we do now? I said, nothing. Nothing. You cannot make God's word work. You can only believe God's word and it will work for you. So she held on to it. Held on to it. We didn't talk about it for almost a year. Then she went for another checkup. They didn't see anything again. Praise the Lord. They saw nothing. Why? Because she was standing on the word of God. When you stand on the word of God, you will walk on water. Sometimes, we don't even know what we're believing God for. And just say, I just know that things will work out fine. How can you talk like that? I just know that if God really loves me, you know, if God really loves me, He won't have me suffer like this. God loves everybody and people are suffering. Now, well, someone sick in his body. He say, brother, what are you doing about it? He say, God is on the throne. So, God has always been on the throne. God being on the throne does not change your situation. What scripture are you standing on? Peter heard the word, come. And that was it. What scripture are you standing on? For your healing? For your health? For that financial difficulty that you're facing? And because many of us, we hardly look into the word of God, we begin to panic. When a problem happens in your business, or so, you begin to panic. Okay, what do I do now? You call one uncle, you call one. I mean, the time you should spend on the word of God, you spend calling people. And you know what can be very terrible? And nobody will now eventually help you. And you have told everybody your problem. So, the period you should have spent on the word of God, when life's issues come against you like that, lock yourself up. And listen to God's word. And open the word of God. See, listen to me now. If you cannot trust God on your healing, or better say, let me say it like this. If God cannot keep His word about healing, how can I trust Him about heaven? How can I trust Him that He has truly saved me? Because it's the same Spirit of God that uttered Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 6, that uttered Romans 10, 8 to 10. So I must know that it is the same integrity that is at the back of my salvation is at the back of my healing. Are you following what I'm saying this afternoon? I must ask myself, what does the word of God say about this case? Glory to His name. I said glory to His name. Favor is yours. Oh, more you don't believe that. Favor is yours. It's yours now. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Say, oh, no. Business in Nigeria is very, very bad. And you can hardly make it in this country. You can. Can a Christian talking like that morning till afternoon? I don't know. I've known now. Maybe I'll have traveled abroad since, you know, when my uncle came to take me then. But I refused. I don't know what will happen to my life now. How I imagine I've been trying to get a job for the last 1.5 years. I've not even got. And he's the time you should spend on the word of God is complaining and complaining. And the more you complain, the bigger the problem will appear in your mind. He's just complaining. You know, some Christians are just anointed complainers. And you know, that's the kind of person you don't want to have as a wife. Yeah, no. The world is full of troubles. You now come home and you think, nothing again today. What do you mean? Just wondering, you know, because when I was going to get married, I thought I was marrying somebody that would take care of me. I love you, Shao. Say, sweetheart, let us pray. 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 I've been praying since before we got married. We are still praying. Go and do what your mates are doing. Can you imagine? A Christian woman talking like Job's wife. What a wonderful couple I know. Some ministers of the gospel. One time they experienced serious financial difficulties. They were owing close to $10 million. Then they began to panic. The husband began to panic. The wife said, don't panic. God's word still works. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take 2 weeks break. And we're going to stay on the word of God. We're going to pray. And we're going to confess God's word. And over our lives, over our ministry, over our businesses, for 2 weeks, got a hold of the books they had read when they were younger, read it in through and through, stood upon the scriptures. By the time they were out, everything was cleared. I know them. Everything was clear. Sometimes we just panic. We think by panicking and calling people and rushing, helter skelter, things will get solved. No! All things are possible with God. Praise the Lord. God created the water, didn't he? All things are possible with God. So find your case in the Word of God. Find your situation in God's Word. There's nothing in your life today that does not have an answer in God's Word. In Romans 15 verse 8, the Bible says Jesus Christ, He is the confirmation of all the promises made to the prophets under the old covenant. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says all the promises of God are fulfilled by Jesus Christ. So therefore, if God's promises in the Word are fulfilled by Jesus, that means all of God's promises are mine today. They are done. I look at healing, and I say, healing is mine. I look at my finances, and I tell myself, even if my account is red, and I don't have money to finance the next project in my company, I say, my God supplies all my needs, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm too sure that the needs are met and the bills are paid. I know the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. They tell you, Oga, I'm saying that the account is red, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Because you want to stand on the word of God and you will walk on water. Praise the Lord. I shall not want. He says He gives me all things richly to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. So I know God is giving to me all things richly to enjoy. I have His word for it. Praise the Lord. I said I have His word for it. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound towards me. I have in all sufficiency in all things. I abound unto every good work. So I say I have sufficiency in the name of Jesus. I have sufficiency. I must find out what does the word of God say. Not what people around me are saying. That's why sometimes in a healing meeting, some folks will get healed, some people will not get healed. Sometimes in a church where you are teaching God's word and everybody is listening to you, some folks will walk in the blessings, some people will not. Because God will do for one what He will do for another under the same circumstance. Do you take God at His word? Or do you weigh it against your experiences and the things you see around you? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Jesus said to come. He told Peter, He said come. He said to come. And Peter began to act on this word. Now watch this. Verse 29. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, you cannot stay in the ship and walk on water. You cannot stay in faith and stay in fear. Peter had to come down from the ship. He had to come out of unbelief. He had to come out of doubt. He had to come out of fear. Some of us don't plan big. We don't plan big things for ourselves because we look at our budget. We look at what we think we can earn. But you see, if what you expect is what you can achieve, then there's no faith involved in that. If I plan my expenses based on my income alone, based on what I earn from my salary, pardon me, then I tell myself, then there's no faith in my finances. If I plan my health and my healing based on my common sense how much I can take care of my body, plan my hygiene, then there's no faith involved. And you know, sicknesses are very funny. Even the most educated people, the most careful of people get sick. They even get some diseases that are not necessary because you did not care for yourself. So when you begin to act only on common sense, you are open to life's troubles without a cure. There are two kinds of faith. And I want you to listen here now. And both depends on the kind of situation that you find yourself. In Matthew 14, Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. He heard the word of God. He received it. He believed it. Just like that woman with the issue of blood. There were thousands of people around Jesus who were touching his clothes. Some were touching his clothes to feel the pulse, to feel the texture. Some just wanted to know whether it was dirty or clean. Some just touched it. But a woman's touch of faith brought healing to her body. Faith will direct the power of God to you anywhere you are. Faith will direct favor to you anywhere you are. Faith will direct supplies and increase to anywhere you are. The woman was not so close to Jesus. She was not part of the disciples. She was not a leader in church, not a worker. But faith brought the power of God to our advantage. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you following this? Good. Look at verse 30. He began to walk on water, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He saw it. And sometimes we begin to walk in the word, we begin to walk in the promises of God, and then we begin to look at circumstances around us. Sometimes you're already walking in divine healing, divine health, and all of a sudden you begin to feel a symptom. Oh, you're already enjoying God's promises of increase, and you get here, oh, something happened to some of your goods. I just become afraid. All of a sudden you become afraid. And Peter now began to see the wind that was boisterous. Now listen to me now. The wind was boisterous before he entered the water. But somehow, many of us, our minds are not renewed enough. As we are hearing God's word, we are still hearing other things that are contrary to God's word. So as we walk in faith, those things come contrary to what we believe God for. And Peter saw the winds. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Faith does not walk with what I see. Faith walks with what I believe. It doesn't walk with what I see. It walks with what I believe. Sometimes what God says is against or contrary to what I see. What God says is contrary to what I see. The woman with the issue of blood had something different from the doctors. But the power of God had something different for our body. Sometimes what God says and what men say are different. I remember the story of a young man, David, who saw Goliath at the battlefront. And Goliath was threatening everybody. Oh man, he threatened everybody. Everybody was shaking. He would just come out in the night, in the evening, and just shakara everybody, like saying, just shakara everybody. He hadn't done anything, the people were shaking. Because they had heard the gist about his exploits. He had not killed them, but they had died. You people are rats. And they say, we are rats. He would come in every, then David came to the battlefront. And he said, "Who is this?" "Shh. Small boy. You think this isn't his playground? Be careful." He said, "Who is he?" "You know what? In 1973, he destroyed the whole nation." David was not bothered. Because David had seen the power of God before. With the lion and the bear. And listen to what I want to say here. I learned this from my wife years back before we got married, and I won't forget this statement. Now, if with simple headache, sorry to say simple headache, you find it difficult to take God at His word and say, I am healed in the name of Jesus. What if something much more serious now happens? Learn to deal with the lions and the bears before Goliath shows up. Deal with them. Every miracle gives you confidence for a greater one. But every time you resort to common sense, you resort to natural senses on things you should believe God for, when much more difficult situations happen, I won't tell you what will happen. David said, let me have this guy. Take me to the king. He went to the king, and the king was wondering who were they talking about. Said, this small boy, 17-year-old, to do what? Then he said he can take down Goliath. The young boy, how are you? The fine, sir. Are you sure you know what we're talking about? Yes, sir. How is daddy and mommy? They are fine, sir. Have they heard about this, your pranks? Yes, sir. The Goliath we're talking about is not in CDBs or in Disney Junior. He's a real Goliath. He's not what's this film years back? King Kong. Where was King Kong? Or Voltron. That one is toy. This one is real. He said, my Lord, I don't have time. The Lord that was with me when I took down the lion and the bear, said, Lion King or Teddy Bear? And that was it. The king said, I'll give you my armor. What armor? The armor you have not used since. Be careful of those who have experience with unbelief. I know what you are feeling like. When I was younger like you too, I remember when I was sick too, and I said, God has healed me. I almost died though. Then I be careful. But there were other people who believed God and they got healed. Hallelujah. For every funny experience, we have 10 who have experienced the power of God. Can I have an amen here? And that was it. David went to the battle. Said, I come to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel. And he picked 5 stones. What confidence? Someone said, 5 stones was J-E-S-U-S. Nonsense. What does that mean? The 5 stones. Jesus in the Hebrew is not 5 letters. Okay? Even in Greek, it's not 5 letters. It's in English that Jesus is 5 letters. And English is an Anglo-Saxon language that came in about 1,000 years after Jesus. Okay? David didn't speak English. Jesus did not speak English. Alright? So the 5 stones were because there were 5 giants in Philistines. Goliath and his 4 brothers. So David was ready to take out all the 5. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying here? Beautiful. They took the stones. And then he said, I come to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel. Goliath came down by words. David's words were his faith. You call the things that be not as though they were. In the natural, you cannot size David up with Goliath. But when David decides to walk on the word of God, to walk on water, Goliath becomes meat to David. When you decide to take God at His word, cancer becomes a little thing to the power of God. Ulcer becomes easy. Liver conditions becomes easy to be healed. When you take God at His power, it doesn't require much more power to heal headache like He heals cancer. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Can I have an amen? Amen. It's not a greater power that comes from God. That when the stomach trouble, God says, take. When you now say it's ulcer, it says, ulcer, calm down. But he begins to do exercise because it is stomach ulcer. No. It is the same promise of God. Hallelujah. The same power of God. If you have believed God for your headaches to be healed before, if you have believed God for 5,000 naira to pay your school fees when you were in university, you can believe God for 5 million naira. You can believe God for that, the project that you have in your hands today. It's just taking God at His word. Are you following what I'm saying today? Alright, good. He took God at His word. In the world, they tell us, sin is believing. But to Jesus, believing is sin. Go to John 20. John 20. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John 20. There are people here that are going to walk on water. In the name of Jesus. You will do the impossible. You will achieve the impossible. Things that have been difficult for you over the years. This is your time and season. By the power of the Holy Ghost. You will walk on the word of God. You will see the miraculous. You will see the power of God walk on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Sickness will not overcome you. In the name of Jesus. You begin to live in health from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? John 20. Now, Jesus appeared to the disciples. Pardon me. And Thomas Didymus was not there. Thomas Didymus was not there. So he came back and he said, that's why it's good to be in the right place at the right time. Because for the other disciples, you will not know what they believed or not. Amen. Thomas now said, what did you say happened? When Jesus came. He said, stop that nonsense. Why was it when I was not around? Some folks are like that when they see things on television. How can someone stand on a wheelchair like that? Yeah, he has HIV and is healed. He's healed for 3 years now. He'll just be growing lean. That's television miracle. Some people are like that. And every time you criticize miracles like that, you will not receive any. Never criticize the power of God. You don't know when you will need one. Hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? John 20. So he came in. And Jesus came into the midst of them and said, Thomas. For you know that guy really used to doubt. He said, Thomas, reach your finger. Verse 27. Behold my hands. Reach either the hand and trust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. Then Thomas said, oh my Lord and my God. That means he touched one part and said, my Lord. Thought his eyes said, my God. This is real. And in 29, please watch this. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Because you have seen me, you have believed. That's the first kind of faith. The sense knowledge faith. The human kind of faith. What you see, you believe it. When I see it, I will believe it. When I see it, I will believe it. Now, do you know that? You don't have to believe what you have seen. What are you believing? I can't be convinced anymore because I can see it. He said, because you have seen it, you have believed it. Now, let's finish it together. Let's go. Blessed, come on everybody now. Blessed are they which have not seen. Take that again. Blessed are they which have not seen. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Do you see before you believe? No. We believe before we see. Those who have not seen and yet have believed.
When he began to sink, that's the miracle. I tell you, that's a miracle because you don't sink in water, you're supposed to drown. When he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. That is, he could pray. He could ask Jesus. He didn't say, hey guys, can you bring the sheep close? Sometimes, even when we fall in the doubt and unbelief, we will not pray. Hey guys, what you're saying is coming to pass. Can you bring the sheep close? Jesus is weak. Can't he stop the wind? He was looking at the wind, he said not, come, what is come? My son, you are here. He didn't say which kind of sickness. I didn't know cancer was not involved.
I said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says immediately. So in the lowest form of our life, you can call on God. Lord, help me. I don't pick the phone again and call an uncle, call a cousin, call your sister, call your... You can pray again. Hallelujah. And believe God. The Bible says immediately. If he had not called, I don't know what would have happened. Jesus said to Thomas, now, no, let me see this. When Jesus, when Peter said, Lord, save me. You know, if it were in human ruler, like you and I, you'll have said, I've said what I will say. I'm sorry? Why did you doubt? I'm the pity. You have to go for it. He first of all saved him, then he corrected him. Why did you doubt? He said, Peter, Lord, why did you doubt?
Lord,
oh, Peter,
you doubted my word. Peter, why is calling on you?
God will save you, then he will correct you. He will correct you with the sinking power of water. He will save you, then he will correct you. Either way, turn your attention on Jesus. If you're going to walk on water, turn your attention on the word of God. What has God spoken to you? What has he said to you? Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen anything and have believed. You don't have to see your healing before you say you are healed. In the most difficult situations of life, learn to confess God's word. Learn to speak God's word. Learn to focus your mind on God's word. I challenge you, church, to believe God for the impossible. To believe Him for the impossible. As a preacher, believe God for the impossible. As a businessman, believe God for the impossible. You are not to walk on water, like I said. You have to walk on the word. The word will be your platform on water. In the midst of life storms, in the midst of financial difficulties, the word of God will be your anchor. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than is he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me is condemned already in the name of Jesus. I thank God for increase in the name of Jesus. I'm grateful to God. He supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore I say, my needs are met. My bills are paid in the name of Jesus. It's time to walk on water and do the impossible. 2012 is coming. Dream big. Whatever has happened to you in the past cannot dictate your future. You can choose to dream big. You can say, this business is coming alive. This home is going to be strong again. This body is going to be strong again. I'm going to start experiencing divine health all over again. I will not be the sick. I am the healed. Walking in the power of God. It's time to walk on water and walk on the power of God. It's not of you. He's by the word. Listen to me, church. Many of us don't stay with the word of God long enough. Just like Peter. If you stay with the word long enough, it will work. Stay with it. Stay with the word of God. Stay with that prophecy. It will work. No matter what evil decree anybody has spoken over your life, makes no difference. Several years ago, I was so disturbed about how ministers were falling and falling years ago. And I prayed, I said, God, help me. I want to preach for the rest of my life. Then he spoke to me in a vision. He said, I'll stand with you. You will not fall. Never.
So in my mind, I have never pictured a day I will fall. It doesn't occur to me. Not because I am strong to think of myself. No. I'm not. The Bible says our sufficiency is not of us. But we have a God sufficiency. When I boast on God. When I brag on the power of God. I will never fall. I will never come down. I rise in the name of Jesus. Forget the past. It's time to look forward. Because the best days are ahead of you. Your best days are not behind you. They are ahead of you. Have you done a business that has failed before? Have you done something before that did not work? And men walked, they mocked on you. They mocked at you. They used you as an example. I've seen it before. I've been the butt of jokes before. But nothing changes me but the word of God. All I know is that Jesus said, come. When he called me to preach, he just said, come. I had nothing but his word. I'm still preaching. I'm still preaching. The very first invitation I took, 1992, December 11th, I preached at a convention, a Bible convention. And, you know, it seemed like a long distance. A long journey. I'm still here today. I took God at his word. And I'm going to preach Jesus around the world. I'm going to make disciples of every nation. I'm going to preach on television. I'm going to heal the sick. I am anointed of God. I'm going to pastor churches. I was so young, a teenager. But I took God at his word. That's why I'm here today. That's why you're here today. Take God at his word. Have you failed before in ministry? Have you failed in your business? Have you been sick before? That the doctor said there was no room. No hope. I've been there. Learn to stand on water. Learn to walk on the word. Learn to take God by his word. In your finances. In your business. In your health. It's time to achieve the impossible. It's time to do the impossible. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him that believes. I believe. Calling the things that be not as though they were. Do you have to see it? I see by faith that I have it. In the name of Jesus, the capital is yours. In the name of Jesus, healing is yours. In the name of Jesus, success is yours. In the name of Jesus. Time to walk on water. 2012 was of the ministry is a year of massive, mighty manifestations of the glory of God. Beyond your walk, you will receive from God's favor. The power of God will walk on your behalf. Men will gather to favor you. Great and mighty things that you have never seen in your life will happen to you. Believe God. Hold on to his word. And you will walk on water. Lift your hands toward heaven and bless you. Thank you. Just bless you.